What do you think? Somebody asked me what I was getting for Father's Day this year. I said, well, as far as I can tell, fatter and balder. So, yeah, the head is an issue. I don't know if you've noticed or not, but I got a haircut this week. And Melinda thinks it's going to be too shiny. So she bought me a towel at Kate's house to wipe my head. So what I've decided is we'll have a signal. So if it gets too shiny, I need you to do like this. Okay? Let's practice, everybody. Okay. So you'll look silly, and I'll look silly. So it'll even out as we go. I've had to sleep with one eye open for the last three nights because Melinda is threatening to put tanning oil on it so that it won't be so shiny, maybe. But we'll see how that goes. I have a story. I went to Lowe's yesterday morning, and on the way back, I stopped at this yard sale. It's at this church over on Pedigo Way, which is not really on the way from Lowe's, but I ended up there anyway. So it's, you know, kind of a charismatic church and a storefront there. And so I picked out a couple of things and asked the guy how much it was. And he said, you know, it's a donation. We're going on a mission trip. And so I gave him a little money. And he said, well, can we pray for you? Do you have anything I can pray about? I said, well, I have cancer. He said, great. Because, you know, I've seen that healed a bunch of times. And so... So I took my hat off, and he was like, yeah, this is real. So he called a couple of people from the church around. We held hands, and first thing he says is, Lord, you know the number of hairs on this man's head. And I said, well, I think everybody does. But we laughed, and he prayed for me and told me when I went to the doctor and found out I was healed to come back. They meet on Sundays at 10 o'clock, so we'll see. Since this is Father's Day, I thought I would bring back some of my dad jokes from the last year, since I figured you would want to me to. And so I've just got a few. I traded our bed for a trampoline, and Melinda hit the roof. The second psychiatrist secretary came in and said, Doctor, there's a man out here who thinks he's invisible. And the psychiatrist said, well, tell him I can't see him right now. And did you hear about the two silkworms that got in a race? They ended up in a tie. And you heard about the guy who got a job at the calendar factory, but he got fired because he took a day off. This is the last one. So I told Melinda I was thinking about cloning myself, and she said, yeah, that'd be just like you. So you don't have to touch it. That's right, 98.9% bacteria free. So if you find my towel laying around, it's not toxic. Well, now we're going to get to the scripture. So, and you saw it on the screen, Matthew chapter 13, verses 44 through 46. It says, the kingdom of heaven is like treasure hidden in a field. When a man found it, he hid it again, and then in his joy went and sold all that he had and bought that field. Again, the kingdom of heaven is like a merchant looking for fine pearls. When he found one of great value, he went away and sold everything he had and bought it. You know, there's a passage in 1 Corinthians 15 where Paul says, if only for this life we have hope, then we are of most people to be pitied. And he was talking about the resurrection and this idea that Jesus was the first fruits and that we will all be raised with him one day. And that's true. That's a great part of our hope. But I think it is also just as important, maybe more important in the life of Jesus and in his teaching, is that if we only have hope for the next life, then we're pretty pitiful too. If there's not something that's happening in this life that God is doing in us and among us, then if we're just waiting till the end, you know, it's kind of like the guy who decided to join the ballet because they met on Tuesday nights for rehearsal, and that was the night that his wife liked to clean house. So he joined the ballet, you know, to get out of what he didn't want. And not sure if everybody there, that was their motivation, that the ballet would be that sophisticated, civilized thing that I've heard it is. Or like a group who decides to clean the beach, you know, they're going to go and pick up garbage, and I join because I want to get a tan, you know, and everybody else there, the only reason they're there is because they want to get a tan too. Not sure we're going to pick up a lot of garbage as long as we're putting on our sunscreen and turning and rotating according to the sun, you know, because we're not really there for the reason. So I was thinking about if we get to heaven and the only people there are the ones who didn't want to go to hell, what kind of place is that going to be? Everybody's going to be pretty selfish and narcissistic, you know. It's all going to be about me. So maybe there's more to this story, more to this thing, this treasure that Jesus is talking about in this parable. The treasure is not just the message about the kingdom. The treasure is the reality of the kingdom. It's not just the things we say about it, but it is the presence of this new kingdom among us. And so there's this idea when we read this passage, we think about they gave everything they had, that was the cost of the kingdom. But there's a difference between the cost and the value. Like I have this 2009 Vibe. If you've ever sold a used car, you know how this goes. I've sold several of them that I couldn't give away. I would sell. So you look in the blue book, you know, and it tells you what the cost would be. You tell it, you know, it's a 2009, it's a Pontiac, it's a Vibe. It has 130,000 miles on it. It does not have a moonroof or a sunroof. Has a CD player, but not a multiple CD player. It's a four-door. It doesn't have power seats. You put in all this stuff, and it will tell you what that car will cost you to buy or what you can sell it for. But there's a difference between the cost and the worth. That car is worth more to me than I can sell it for because it's the first new car Melinda and I ever owned together. It's the first new car I ever owned. It's our son, Justice, helped us buy it. Sorry if it ruins his reputation, but he was a car salesman at one time. And it's been dependable, and it has the greatest accessory of all time. It is paid for. So that is worth a lot to us. And so there's this difference between cost and worth. And so when Jesus says they sold everything else in my life is not the cost of the kingdom. It's the value of the kingdom. We focus on that cost when the reality is the cost is pretty cheap for what we get in exchange. For what God gives to us, everything we have is a pretty good bargain. And so he offers us this thing that this treasure is not just the message, it is the reality. It's not just this mild dose of Christianity, but it's this brand new life. It is this kingdom. It's not just the church telling us how to live or the Bible telling us what's right and wrong, but it is Jesus Christ who was born in the flesh, who lived among us, who suffered and was crucified and died and was resurrected, and who lives in us and with us to create this new kingdom. It's not this vaccination against the fullness of the Spirit, but it is the experience of the fullness of the Spirit. And so when we think about the cost and the worth, there is so much more worth, value in this kingdom than even if we give everything we have, the cost is pretty cheap. God's not a very good negotiator. He is not a good salesman. He sells what he has for what we have. That's a pretty good deal for us. Not just in the next life, but in this life. It's not just a suburban Christianity where we live out on the outskirts of what God is doing. And we drive in occasionally and we visit the restaurants and the movies, theaters and the ballet or whatever. And we go back home in the evening. But it is the invitation to dwell in this kingdom, to live in it, to experience it. He invites us to be part of this new thing. And so sometimes I think when we read this passage and we think about this man who finds this field and he sells everything, or this merchant who finds this pearl and sells everything, we assume that they're rich, you know, that they have a lot of money or they have a lot of goods to give for this field or for this pearl. But it doesn't say that. Maybe they didn't have much. You know, a lot of merchants go bankrupt. Maybe this one had just gone bankrupt and they're trying to start over. Maybe this fellow who has found this field is kind of desperate. Maybe he doesn't have a whole lot to offer, but he offers what he has. And that's the miracle here, is that God takes what we offer. He takes us. He takes me and you, gives us the kingdom. He gives us himself. And so I kind of exchange this life that I'm pursuing for this experience of the love of God, who sees me and knows me and takes me just as I am. Everything I have is a pretty good deal. It's a bargain. If they listed it in the newspaper, it would be one of those super sellout celebrations, you know, that everything I have for what he offers is a great deal. Because this is not just talking about the next life, but it's talking about the kingdom present here among us and with us. This idea that we can experience God's love and his grace, and we can be alive to it. It's kind of like, I don't know if you listen to country music, but the band Perry, they have this song. It's the difference between getting a postcard from Paris and seeing the real thing. Sometimes we our lives are that postcard, but the kingdom is that real thing. It's kind of like the difference between seeing a Batman in a movie and being Robin, you know? We don't just watch this thing unfold, but we are invited to be part of it. It's kind of like, you know, when you're a kid, you got to lick the spoon when they make cake or batter, the cake batter. That's pretty cool, but you get a piece of cake with the frosting on it, that's even better. That's kind of what this is like. We kind of trade this imitation or this substitution for what life really is for the real thing, the thing that we were created to know and to be and to experience. And so God takes us as we are, and ordinary people like us are invited to participate in the eternal kingdom of the eternal King. What we do matters. What we do matters. Because every moment, every ordinary moment is pregnant with the kingdom, waiting for it to be born among us. And we have the power. We are invited to bring that kingdom to birth, to draw it in, to allow it entrance into our moments and into our relationships and into our conversations, into the encounters that we have every day. We have power. Our actions make a difference. We are invited into this story. But the story is always the story of Jesus. It's not about us. We're not the star of the story, but we have a part of the story. We have a place to be in it, to be invited into it. And so these people who recognized this treasure, they became part of it. They leaned into this opportunity, this possibility that every moment has to see the kingdom coming among us. And so this miracle that God does, that he takes us as we are, and he gives us himself and his kingdom, is kind of messy. You know, the kingdom is really a rugged mess right now. It is not everything it should be, but it is a great more than we can imagine. It is not everything it will be, but it is a great more than we can imagine. That we have this opportunity to be part of it. And so he says that they sell everything they have and they purchase it with joy. And so this kingdom is kind of like learning a new skill. You know, if you want to learn something, it's pretty messy at first. I've tried 2 or 3 times to learn how to play the ukulele, which turns out to be really challenging. And it's pretty messy and doesn't sound very good. And it didn't look like I'm making much progress, so I quit, you know. And the kingdom's kind of like that. Or it's like meeting new people. You know, for some people that's pretty easy, but for a lot of us that's kind of awkward to be put in a setting where we don't know people and we have to figure that out. It's kind of uncomfortable for us. Or it's kind of like we want to go someplace we've never been before. I mean, it's easy to get lost on the way, but we want to go there. We just can't figure out exactly how to get there. It takes time and trouble. That's how it is with this receiving the kingdom. It's awkward and it's messy. And it's uncomfortable, but we do it with great joy, with great joy. If we taste it, if we catch a glimpse of it, we can never go back. Having tasted this, why would we? This possibility, this opportunity to be part of what God is I think sometimes about my life more now than I used to, and what it looks like. I would trade the life that I would that I've tried to build for this life that God offers me. I would trade the story that I wanted for my life for the story that God invites me into. I would trade the path that I have chosen for the one that He chooses for me every day, every time. I'm learning to do that every moment. There is great joy for us in this bargain that we get, giving everything we have, not as a cost, but as a recognizing the value of the kingdom. We think about the cost because that's kind of who we are. It's a lot. It's everything. It's not just my sin and my brokenness and my fear and my shame, but it's also my house and my car and my shoes and my relationships and my opportunities and my job. But to give everything we have, that's not the cost. That's a bargain for the value of the kingdom, for this treasure that is laid before us. And so we think about that, but then also I think that this passage maybe is talking about what God thinks. That He finds us when we are lost, when we are hidden, and He has great joy. That He gives everything He has with joy in order that we might be found. And I don't know. He's not a great negotiator, but He's pretty smart. I think maybe He thinks it's a pretty good deal. That we are worth it. That the cost is different from the value. That even giving His only Son, maybe He feels like He's getting a bargain when He finds us. And so when we come to the table this morning, think of this joy that we have, that He is taking us in exchange for His life. That in the bread and in the cup, we receive this treasure that is a really good deal. But at the same time, think of how God comes to this table with great joy, with feeling like He's cheated us because He gets us for everything He has, but He still delights to do it. Let's pray. Father, we are grateful, and we ask that You would open our eyes to recognize what this kingdom is. That it is for the next life, but it is also richly for this life. Help us not to see this exchange as our cost, but to see the value, to see the worth, to see all that it means to have a King who loves us and a kingdom that surrounds us. And now, Father, help us also to dare to believe that You rejoice at the table with us, that You count it a delight to give Your Son for us, that You love us so much that You would make that exchange. And so, Father, we come in this daring belief with everything we have in order that we might receive the kingdom and might help bring it into our world. In Jesus' name, amen. The Lord be with you.
And also with you.
Lift up your hearts.
We lift them up to the Lord.
Let us give thanks to the Lord our God. It is right and a good and joyful thing, always and everywhere, to give thanks to You, Father Almighty, Creator of heaven and earth. You formed us in Your image, and You breathed into us the breath of life. When we turned away and our love failed, Your love remained steadfast. You delivered us from captivity. You made covenant to be our sovereign God, spoke to us through Your prophets, and who looked for that day when justice shall roll down like waters and righteousness like an ever-flowing stream. When nation shall not lift up sword against nation, neither shall they learn war anymore. And so with Your people on earth and all the company of heaven, we praise Your name and join their unending hymn. Holy, holy, holy Lord.
God of heaven and earth, full of Your glory.
Hosanna in the highest.
Blessed is He who comes.
Holy are you, and blessed is your Son, Jesus Christ. Your Spirit anointed him to preach good news to the poor, to proclaim release to the captives and recovering of sight to the blind, to set at liberty those who are oppressed, and to announce that the time had come when you would save your people. You healed the sick, fed the hungry, and ate with sinners. By the baptism of his suffering, death, and resurrection, you gave birth to your church, delivered us from slavery to sin and death, and made with us a new covenant by water and the Spirit. At his ascension, you exalted him to sit and reign with you at your right hand. On the night in which he gave himself up for us, he took bread. He gave thanks to you, broke the bread, gave it to his disciples, and said, "Take, eat, this is my body which is given for you. Do this in remembrance of me." When the supper was over, he took the cup. He gave thanks to you, gave it to his disciples, and said, "Drink from this, all of you. This is my blood of the new covenant poured out for you and for many for the forgiveness of sins. Do this as often as you drink it in remembrance of me." And so, in remembrance of these, your mighty acts in Jesus Christ, we offer ourselves in praise and thanksgiving as a holy and living sacrifice in union with Christ's offering for us as we proclaim the mystery of faith. Let's pray. Pour out your Holy Spirit on us gathered here and on these gifts of bread and juice. Make them be for us the body and blood of Christ, that we may be for the world the body of Christ, redeemed by his blood. By your Spirit, make us one with Christ, one with each other, and one in ministry to all the world, until Christ comes in final victory and we feast at his heavenly banquet. Through your Son, Jesus Christ, with the Holy Spirit in your holy church, all honor and glory is yours, Almighty Father, now and forever. Amen. As usual, you're invited to the table. You don't have to be a member of this church or of any church. We celebrate an open communion. All those who come in faith are welcome to come. We have elements for gluten-free elements as well that are available for those who choose those. So I'm going to invite those who are going to help serve, if you would come.